So welcome back, MGTOW men. I got an email today from a viewer, and he asked me if I was going to go to that MGTOW summit in Southeast Asia. You know, I really wish that I could. It would be amazing, and I hope to do that in the future, but I'm 24 right now. Unfortunately, I have to do things that are in the system, and I hope that those in your, you know, in the 30s and 40s and 50s, you guys are able to opt out of that more. And if I can make it to that age with the freedom that some of you have and be alive, you will see me wherever these conventions are held, but now I need to work. I do have my energy split right now, but what helps ensure that I will be able to have those moments of freedom in the future, there are many things, but today we will focus on three things that are brought to our attention in three different Proverbs passages that I'm selecting from the Bible. So it's a Sunday sermon as I always do. Though they are hard work, being self-motivated, staying far away from the adulteress, and binding wisdom on your hearts. Those are the three things that we'll focus on today. And for us MGTOW men, wisdom is not just wisdom about the world, intellect, and smarts. Red pill wisdom is different, and it's wisdom about women and the dangers of even the simple things that many men may overlook in regards to dating and to marriage, and just lies about the world. It has a different definition for us, and because it's wisdom that looks to override a natural biological inclination, the inclination to reproduce, to copulate with beautiful women, then it is of utmost importance. It's dire. It's not something that you can remind yourself on occasionally. It has to be daily, and it has to be continual protection, continual reminders of why you need to remind yourself of these red pill warnings, to take these doses and to communicate with other MGTOW men that remind you of the security of this path. But the dangers of the path of the world, the path of the wife, the path of the woman, and in Proverbs, the path of the adulteress. So as I always say, these Sunday sermons are for more than those that just hold the Bible in high esteem. It's for everyone. Because the Bible and its teachings are red-pilled. They're in favor of MGTOW teachings. It's not the lies that many churches have taught today or the feminized Bible classes in private colleges across the U.S. It's not an antiquated book that was intended to be read through a feminist lens that a lot of private colleges that I've been in and classes that I've been have told me. That's a lie. And I don't believe that lie. Nothing is new under the sun, guys. There is nothing new under the sun, especially when it comes to human nature. And the same principles that we talk about today. So I'm going to continue to go throughout this book every couple weeks. And we're going to, I believe I stopped in chapter 5 last time. So the first one is being hardworking and being an entrepreneur, because I believe there's a connection between MGTOW and that. And the verses are Proverbs 6, 5 through 11. So free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest? And poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. So I'm no theologian. I'm just reading this from a layman's perspective, a 24-year-old that has been transfixed by the wisdom literature and Proverbs since he was a small child. And right here, men, let's analyze this, okay? It's a call for many of us MGTOW men and many of us who are going our own way and doing as we need to do to provide for ourselves and free ourselves from the hands of the hunters, like a bird out of the snare. And I chose this because one of the most powerful pushes for me to go my own way has been the desire to be an entrepreneur and to avoid being held in the trappings of corporate America. It's becoming so uncertain today, and the grip is being made even tighter upon our necks. And this is so closely intertwined with the identity of MGTOW, because MGTOW is something that we do as a time saver and as a money saver. And time is money, and you can't recreate time, and the only way that we can make money is through time. And men, don't get me wrong here. I'm not advocating for being avaricious and to pursue making money for the sake of deriving power from it, to brag on it. I'm advocating it because of survival. It's one of the only ways for us men to stay on our feet and to prosper. And you do realize that while automation may make life easier for us now, there is less and less need for labor. Jobs are becoming harder to come by. It's harder to ensure that you're going to get an income. So as this verse warns, poverty may come upon you. How many of you guys, MGTOW men, are coming to this way of life after being stricken with the loss of a job, a divorce that has left you financially destitute, or you just can't manage to get a job out of college as a young MGTOW man? And this is why this advice is so pertinent. And it's something that has driven me away from relationships in the past and definitely took me from exes. They didn't understand this. And not all women are like this, but because women were not intended to be the providers that men were based on design, the urge to work and the urge to save and provide is even stronger in us. And sometimes they cannot relate to this push, and especially if you are naturally driven yourself. And this is an internal motivator, but now there are external motivators to be inspired to act like this and to not fold your hands more than there have ever been. Rent prices are increasing. It's becoming nearly impossible to buy property. Insurance is so expensive. The pitfalls for slipping into poverty are endless. And so you know what our response is, especially as the corporate world is becoming more and more volatile and isn't hiring us, we are finding the cracks. We have become like ants, moving at all times, lifting more than we once were required to lift, influencing thousands and hundreds of thousands at times with our efforts. And you can't sleep. We can't slumber because we need to fuel our own economic success. And you see MGTOW men going to Bitcoin. We are going to entrepreneurial efforts like YouTube, our own blogs, being independent, living off-grid, fueling our own entrepreneurial efforts and businesses. And this work to truly make it requires tens of thousands of hard work to actually reach and to pursue to the point of satisfaction. And I'm totally consumed by it right now, whether it's YouTube, my career, and graduate school. And the only thing I deem valuable right now is being able to be like that gazelle and free myself from the hand of the hunter that is trying to break my neck. And there are so many hunters that are trying to get their hands on our necks today, whether it's in the work world, whether it's the uncertainty of that, relationships, legal systems, even our own health and mental sanity. We have to be free. We are working to be free. And that is the underpinning reason, the underlying reason for going your own way, I believe. And don't put people or things in your life that will take you from this. We want to enjoy our lives. We want to succeed. We want to feel self-actualized. And being MGTOW and trying to be that gazelle that is freed is not a selfish thing. What is wrong with enjoying your life? And that is why we avoid some of these relationships and we avoid marriage. It's not out of hate, okay? And we don't realize how much work we actually have to do to reach financial peace and independence as well. It's a lot more than we actually realize. But the beautiful thing is, if you go MGTOW, then you have to work a lot less as that ant. There is so much less that you have to do. There is so much less pressure. The distance you have to run as that gazelle is shorter. The oasis in the desert is nearer than it is for that average man that is stuck in that relationship or marriage. And remember that, but take pride in your work and remove those things from your life that push that oasis further away, that thicket that would have provided you cover as that arrow flies in at you. And our second one is going to touch more on female nature, but also temptation from women. And it's Proverbs 6:25-29. The adulteress will turn you into a loaf of bread, essentially. And there are different translations that have translated that verse differently, but I'm going to be looking at the one in which you are represented as a loaf of bread. So I'm going to read it. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. Her beauty and her eyes have power. So a prostitute can be had for a loaf of bread, but another man's wife preys on your very life. Your life is threatened, men. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. And there is one translation of that verse, as I said, verse 26, that compares falling for the prostitute, the adulteress, as being reduced to a loaf of bread. And the loaf of bread isn't strong. It's not particularly hard or edgy. If a man full of vigor and character and strength were to be personified by a food, I would see him being like a T-bone steak, still mooing, full of large, thick bone with a little bit of blood. It has vigor, but a piece of bread is consumable. It lacks identity, and it's commonplace. It sits there on the table. You are reduced to that by her. And she doesn't care that she is cheating. Neither do you, apparently, in this one. And I try not to eat bread, but I just had a piece of bread and some peanut butter a little bit ago, and it's just so easy to eat. It sits there waiting on the table. It doesn't take the same preparation that an ornate meal with meat and vegetables would. And in that day and age, bread was consumed in such a commonplace manner, frequently and without question, even more so possibly than today. And so while the passage is a warning about adultery, I don't imagine that adultery is the main warning that us men will be talking about here. Obviously, that is that's not respectable. We have our own gripings about that, and we talk about unfaithful women all the time. So we have to hold ourselves to that same standard. And I don't need to remind us about the dangers of that. I'm focusing on the powerlessness that many men are reduced to around sexual temptation. Your life is put into danger. And there's a response to this from the internet that I like to quote. It states, a guy will visit a prostitute or an adulteress because he is lonely. He can pretend that she really cares about him. She'll listen to his tales of woe. Same goes for women, holding him comfortingly, at least until the sex is done. But Solomon's point is that these types of women don't care about the men they have sex with. They don't care about the men they're not having sex with that they're actually in relationship with either. And the guy is just a way of putting bread on the table. The parallel statement makes the same point. The hunter doesn't search out prey because he cares. The prey is simply the means to the next meal. And you're done. Samson, he was done. Immobilized. David loses a child and has to deal with dissension in his family for the rest of his life. And the point here is that she doesn't care about you. She may give this impression, and oftentimes immediately after sex, that woman flips a switch on both ends for the woman and the man. They're like, what just happened? You don't have the same value to her. She doesn't at all to you. If any value at all to each other. We often think that we can avoid it and that we're in control of these emotions. And even if we put the lumps of coal on our lap and they're burning with embers, that the red pill knowledge that we have will save us and that we'll continually play with fire but be able to get out of the flames thanks to what we know. But we often can't. And everyone has to know their own threshold. And I know that for me, as I was between my first and second relationships with girlfriends, I was at this purple pill stage of confidence in which I thought I could put the coals on my lap and not go blue pill. And some of you guys will have more strength than me, but I was still in my early 20s and I thought I'd be able to better overcome the draw of the flesh, the draw of the blue pill beta that I was trying to destroy inside me, but I couldn't. And so I got with my next girlfriend, and at first it felt like it was happening in a controlled manner. We were just friends, nothing was serious, and the next thing you know, she has me in a vice grip, so slyly, sneakily, and I'm on the brink of death. I feel I was nearly eradicated. I lost myself. The venom was slowly being injected into me. And you have to know your threshold and continue to sharpen yourself, because you may become soft like a loaf of bread or engulfed in flames that you had no recollection or throwing onto your lap. And we are flammable. And this transitions beautifully into my final point, which is pretty self-explanatory. And wisdom can't just be something that you take when it's convenient. It has to be a daily practice. It has to be integrated into your routine. You can never rely on your own confidence. You can't fold your hands like you may want to when it comes to work. And you should be like the ant. But when it comes to wisdom, you also have to be like the ant. And you have to bind wisdom upon your finger. It's like a tattoo on your heart. And that is the third passage, Proverbs 7, 1 through 5. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. And this is repeated so many times. This father is trying to teach us. And there are a lot of these mentors within MGTOW that are these fathers. I'm not one. I'm still a son. And I need to be reminded for these commands to not only just be listened to, but I need to store them. I need to put them away. It's not just like you have them. You're storing them. You're putting in a savings account. And keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. There's nothing more valuable. And you may undervalue and not ascribe as much value as you need to this wisdom, but it may be more valuable than anything in your current life that day. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart, and say to wisdom, you are my sister, and insight, you are my relative. And they will keep you from the adulterous woman, from the wayward woman with her seductive words. And once again, this is just proof that the Bible is not blue pill. It's not, this is not glossing over the fact that men are the ones that are always evil. Men are the ones that have the power, and women do not possess any of it. It is the exact opposite. Women are described as one of the most powerful entities, and if you're looking at it from physical attractiveness, they are, and the Bible recognizes this. And wisdom is shown to be something you can't just come and go with. It has to be ingrained in your thought, your action, and your identity, as if it was a tattoo. And I found that while I had MGTOW knowledge and was consuming MGTOW content very often after first learning about it, it didn't really resonate with me and play out until I let it get into my bloodstream and started to participate in it, until I started to produce content and think about these concepts every day. And the man's mind is fragile. It's less fragile than many women's minds today, but it must be trained as a muscle every day, especially when overcoming a biological urge to reproduce and copulate. And you have to be relatives with the red pill wisdom. You have to be related. Share that blood. And once again, go your own way. Know your threshold for what you have to consume and what you have to do to consume red pill knowledge, whatever it is. And I was, you know, for example, I was just at the bar the other day with a supervisor of mine and a colleague, and we go out occasionally. And I was just sitting there at the bar, eating some wings, and I was, this bartender, she was really attractive, and you immediately get that rush of good emotions and endorphins, and you think about, you know, just how awesome it would be to get attention from her. And then you're like, you remind yourself of many things that you have going in your life and the truths and the warnings that you've been afforded to by MGTOW, by going your own way and thinking logically about why you wouldn't want to date a girl that is a bartender in the first place for so many reasons. And when you look at the female body as a man, there's not much more else on the planet that fits smoothly, if they're attractive, of course, and makes sense to a man's mind. And it seems perfect almost, but it's just a biological illusion to get you to reproduce. And the same goes for that prostitute, that adulteress. And the only reason that you want her is because of biological programming. Do you want anything else to do with her? No. But biology doesn't know the situation or position in your life. Only you do. Be careful, be strong, and be smart. Bind red pill wisdom on your heart. And don't just subscribe to content and watch it dwell on the thoughts. Improve your life with these things. Be an example and preach through that example. And reinforce yourself with the wisdom as if you were consuming a nourishing meal. And I hope that my talk today does that. As the folding of the hands, the dangers of poverty, and the seductress and the illusion of biology threaten us every day. And it surely will this week. And new challenges will arise come holiday times, I know. So throw your hoodies up as those challenges come. Stay focused and stay at peace. Hoodies are up, men. Hoodies out.